So what's this movie you guys are in? I know nothing about it. Is it hard drumming up interest?
What movie is this?
I don't know. Which one are we on now?
It's called The Leprechaun of Hidden Valley. Which is... yes. Right. It's about the Brazilian rainforest.
Yes. And the dressing.
Yeah. There is an angry New York cop. Which it's more of a buddy comedy, I think.
It's kind of a buddy comedy.
Yeah,
it kind of is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, yes. Then, I shoot a lot of guns, and
you do. There's a lot of weaponry.
It's just like fun to be a badass, you know, for a woman. It's like so great.
She uses her heel as a knife.
Totally, heels and a knife.
Yeah, it's really amazing.
I use my heels and a knife.
Now you have to make this movie.
How exciting is it to know that you're working on a film that literally, I mean, if you are willing to show people 3 more seconds, they're going to be there in hordes to see it. How exciting is that?
It's cool. I mean, like, we did the international, like, trailer event when you and Dazza Rio and Andrew was in New York, and
it was
one of those moments, and also the first Comic-Con, because you make the movie sort of in a bubble, in a way, and I think beforehand, you kind of, if you can go on the internet, which is always dangerous, you can see the awareness of it, but then you go into this movie, you come out of it, and there was there's just such a curiosity, and it's incredibly intimidating, but really, really fun. Like, it's sort of, I mean, for me, it's like, it's what I got involved in movies for. It's like just to connect to people and the idea that there's this character that people have such an affinity for is really, it's really cool. It's really fun. It's just downright exhilarating.
Can I ask, is this your Gwen Stacy hair right now?
I'm going blonder.
You're going blonder?
Yeah.
Now, when you first got the part, clearly people have a preconception. You know, you might not have the right blonde. Was there a hair outcry that you had to deal with?
Because I'm blonde. I mean, my actual hair is blonde. Right. I dye it red, usually. So there was, it's incredible how much people care about hair and ask about hair.
The guys care about hair in that kind of profound way.
I care very deep.
See what I mean? No, but it was kind of funny, and I guess that's why I like changing it around a lot, because I'm like, it's hair, you guys. Here today, gone tomorrow, and then back again.
Exactly.
So it was.
But did you get it specifically for Gwen? Because you mix
In the comic, she's got really, really light blonde hair, and so I think as with the costumes, as with the look of the makeup, and you know, same I'm sure goes for Peter Parker. You want to try to bring that character to life. The best question I get is, why did you guys choose blonde for Gwen? to set you apart from Mary Jane, and I'm like, well, because in the comics she has blonde hair and Mary Jane has red hair.
Well, I guess in the larger sense, were there certain fan expectations that you had to really consider going into your version of Spider-Man, or even something that maybe you wanted to subvert?
Yeah, I mean, there's things that we had to redefine ourselves, and I think there's sort of things like mechanical web shooters, which I thought was a fun part of the comics, and it's also, I remember talking to Stan Lee very early on. I was like, so what, you know, what's your feeling about these? And he's like, it was a way to dramatize Peter's intellect. His science whiz quality, which I think is something that's really fun in the comics, and so there's things like that. There's the suit, which is important to people, but there's also, I think, people are looking within those. It's like doing a movie like this. It's like a sonnet. There's a form that you have to adhere to a certain degree, but there's enormous flexibility within those barriers and within those restrictions that you want to create something that's new and different and exciting and surprising for people. And that was part of that. In terms of fan expectations, I mean, there's such a variety of fan expectations that you really can't, you know, pick and choose. It's really about finding what's authentic and real and about the story you want to tell and sticking with that.
How do you approach a scene in a larger budget movie like this as opposed to something on a smaller scale like 500 Days of Summer? And will Peter Parker listen to the Smiths in the movie?
There's a scene in the elevator where I walk in and I'm like, oh, is that Smith? Yeah. He's like, yeah. Perfect. And then he falls in love. Which was pretty
I'm
cool.
Looking at Joseph Gordon-Levitt right now as we speak. You know, who's listening to the Smiths at his round table?
Really just him as a person. You couldn't get him to turn it off, right?
No, it's really tough. We built the scene around his
constant infatuation with listening to the Smith.
It's really very similar. You sit into, I mean, there's different ways that you can, it depends on what the scene is about, if it's an action scene or whatever, but it's you try to come up with, have an idea about how to block a scene and how you want to cover a scene, but you know, ultimately you want the, it's important to try to keep the actors feeling authentic and real, but making sure that those performances track with the audience in a different way, and the camera is a part of that, but it has, and what I was trying to do is make the camera a little bit more invisible, and so it didn't feel so, I wasn't trying to recreate comic book panels. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I wanted to create a story where the people felt real, and the stakes felt real, and it wasn't about, like, this matches this thing. Now, there's certain inspirational moments from the comics that we used, but it was really more about finding an attitude and creating a cinematic universe that felt grounded and real.
There's a really naturalistic tone to the dialogue in the footage that we screened at the trailer event. So how closely to the script did you guys stay? Was there a conversation at all?
There's a lot of improvisation, I think, especially in the Peter and Gwen interaction.
Yeah. That was my only connection to it. So, yeah, for me, there was a fair amount of improv, which was really, really nice and kind of shocking, especially at the camera test.
Yeah.
I really wasn't expecting that. I thought it was going to be much more to the letter, which is fine. It was really kind of exciting to, even at the camera test, he was like, all right, just kind of do what you guys want to do for a little bit, and so we could veer off and find things, and I think that was really incredible because it brings, of course, an authenticity when you're just feeling a certain way and spitting it out and you're nervous and you feel sick and you're saying it and you didn't mean to say it. And, you know, there was something really, really nice about getting to do that. And that's another great thing about, I'm going to go a little whatever here, but shooting on digital is nice in those ways because you get to roll and roll and roll and there's more of an opportunity to kind of, you know, when you're on film, you have to cut a lot. So I think there's more of an opportunity to play
to just get into the zone.
You can roll more.
Yeah.
That was that was kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. That spontaneity, I don't think you find it very often in big movies because you have to be so specific usually with visual effects and stuff like that. But I think there was, and certainly there was a lot of moments where there was heavy amounts of orchestration. But when you have actors like Emma and Andrew, who can, and Dennis Leary too, who can go, and they're horses that want to run, man. And when you're sitting back and watching that, you just get the hell out of the way. Because it's really fun, and it's real, and spontaneous, and it's charming, and it's what people go to movies for. I think a big part of it is they want to have a social experience. They want to interact with these characters. They want it to feel real. And I think the stakes, there's this movement, particularly in comedy, and you probably, you know, like with Superbad, all the things that Judd Apatow has done lately, like, there's this real grounded sensibility that people, if you try to do something wacky and zany, like, people are like, meh. They don't feel it as much, you know?
I think people are probably craving authenticity now more than ever because there's so much escapism in culture. And what's funny is something like Spider-Man 50 years ago felt like an escape and now feels like, oh, thank you, this kind of grounded story that we're telling about an orphan boy, which I think people can relate to, whether they're superpowers or not, feeling like an outcast and overcoming and fighting back and saving people and saving yourself. I think there's so much that's relatable in a way that doesn't feel escapist at all, even though it's, you know, it is a superhero movie.
A lot of times in superhero films, the hero has his mask ripped off or torn off. Mm-hmm. Is it important to have a scene like that just so audiences can connect more with the character, or can you get the emotion through something like a Spider-Man?
Well, there's a little bit of both. I mean, one of the great things about Andrew in the suit is that he was very specific about the movements and how he kind of behaves so that you could track that Peter Parker character in the suit. Like, there's a scene we did with this car thief that. Is in some of the, it's a little bit of the trailer, but you just see him, you see it's Andrew in the suit, he's not a stunt guy. You know what I mean? And there's this moment, but then, you know, there are also moments where there's an emotional intensity that you need, I think you do need to feel what's going on in his face, but that needs to be handled in a way that feels organic and real. And then, but then there's just the importance of the mask, I think, is a really interesting thing. And there's something specific about Spider-Man. He is, I think, one of the only superheroes that whose whole body is covered. You know, you don't see skin color, and that is it's one of the in the marketing meetings very early on. There was something that they said Spider-Man transcends all these different countries because everybody can see themselves in it.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? And it's not about he's the only sort of non-racial, non-geographically. Yeah. Superhero. I found that incredibly moving and sort of touching, and I don't know if Stan Lee thought about it in that way, but it worked out that way, and I think that's a really, really...
Well, Spider-Man sort of is Stan Lee, isn't it?
Yeah. True. He did a lot of stunt work.
He did do a lot of stunt work.
Yeah.
He's actually surprisingly flexible.
Yes.
Last question, guys. Last question.
How much of the marketing campaign, is the viral campaign that's going on for it called Mark of the Spider-Man, do you know how much of that, are you involved with it at all? Or have you followed it?
Oh, well, the coolest thing happened the other day. I was walking down the street in New York, and I was like, there's a big spider on the wall. Just walking down there with that.
Yeah.
That viral thing is pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's cool. You know, I see bits and pieces of it, but I'm following it too, man. I got a little Peter Parker backpack.
Do you have any input into it, or is that something that's just the marketing is doing?
No. Well, yes, we've talked a little bit about it. I'm following it though. I'm really intrigued by it. I want to know where it goes. Do you know what happens? Do you know? Do you?
I'm not part of it. I'm sorry.
Do you have the mark of the spider?
Let's see.
I knew it.
I know, it's like, gotta go. I got spidey sense going.
Yeah.
Could you just talk a little bit about the Oscars and what that experience was like for you?
Oh, it was fun. It was kind of a crazy experience and silly. What I got to do was fun and silly, and that always makes me happy. So, it was
how nerve-wracking is that? Billion people watching, 225 countries, you not think about it?
Very at the beginning, but then once you walk out there, you just, I was in a high school play or something. You just have to become, that you come back. But it was, to see Octavia win was the most amazing thing ever. That was truly an incredible moment.
She was awesome. She's awesome. So good. You know she was in the first Spider-Man movie?
I know.
Isn't that amazing?
I know. She was in, and Glenn and John, who directed Crazy Stupid Love, uh-huh. Glenn texted me and he goes, she was the hooker in Bad Santa. I was like, yes, Academy Award winning hooker in
so
Bad
good.
Santa.
She's so good in the movie. You're like,
she's
how
amazing.
Come I do not know her? Like,
oh, you will now. She's everywhere now. Yeah,
she's great.
Yeah.
Speaking of people who were in the first Spider-Man, were you disappointed to find out the Lizard wasn't your TV dad, Dylan Baker?
I love Dylan Baker. So, I mean, Reese is incredible, but, I mean, I do carry a torch for Dylan Baker because he's the greatest. He's really such an amazing guy, so, yeah, it's wonderful. But it is a totally different, again, it's just like with the, you know, the entire trilogy, it's just such a different, such a different version of Spider-Man.
Yeah. So.